Welcome to the Congregation of the 12 Tribes of Israel.
For more information, visit riseisrael.com or 12t.co.
You can also call our toll-free number, which is 888-447-1695.
Or email us at following address, scribe@riseisrael.com.
Shalom, brothers and sisters. Today we're going to cover the subject, renewing our days as of old. And it's been a while since we covered this. So if you never heard this subject, don't worry. We're going to give you a quick recap of what it's about. We want our people to renew themselves. In order for them to receive the mercy of the Most High, we have to come back to how the Heavenly Father told us to worship Him. And what we have realized through the Spirit is that there are two calendars that exist. One that belongs to God and one that belongs to the world. And when I say to the world, meaning this society, the churches, the government have created days that are meant to replace the holy days of the Heavenly Father. And there's doctrines that are taught that might seem biblical or might seem that these are days that are good. And in fact, what they're doing is driving us away from God and causing us to commit sin. And to be blunt, the majority of the days that are followed in the world are devilish, are satanic, are days that are leading our people into worshiping many of the ancient false gods that were of the Romans, of the Greeks, and even of ancient Babylon. So as we return to the Heavenly Father and we begin to renew ourselves, we have to learn what these days are about. And if you have at all thought about what a calendar consists of, and if the calendar of God is any different from what it's on your phone, on your walls, and everywhere, this is the subject where you could hear how days are observed. And that's the small recap right there. So hopefully, if you never heard about this subject before, that will motivate you to go back to the first lesson and build up from there to what we're learning today. But now that the spring season is here, as soon as spring comes around, the certain holidays that are promoted or certain holidays that are kept by millions of people, and they think that these days have something to do with Christ, such as Easter, for example. And you're going to have family members that are going to say Happy Easter to you. You're going to have people that at your jobs are going to have Easter decorations and everything like that. In fact, this week coming up, you're going to have people that are going to have the day off because it's supposed to be Good Friday. And we're going to cover that subject on the next lesson. But today, we have to understand, what does it mean to renew ourselves? Well, according to the scriptures, right, to serve God is not going to come without challenges because of the fact that you're going to have family members that were brought up just as you, thinking that some of the days that they still observe are biblical. And you got to arm yourselves with the scriptures to be able to confront some of the pushback that you might get and be able to educate others. And if you don't have the ability, there's flyers that we have on the site. You could direct them to the website for them to listen, just like you heard about the truth. It says here in the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world." In order for us to renew ourselves to the Heavenly Father, one of the things that we got to do is not allow ourselves to be conformed to this world, meaning that we're not to live our lives just following whatever trend or whatever fashion or whatever the world says. We can't be like, you know, those that are blinded and want to continue in lives. No, we can't be that way. Don't make excuses for yourselves and continue saying to your family members, you know, Happy Easter or Happy Christmas or Happy Valentine's Day. Because these are days that we cover and show that not only they are not about the Bible, they're not biblical, but these are days that are satanic. These are days that drive you to commit sin and move you away, further away from the mercy and the promise that the Heavenly Father gave unto us from our culture, because the Bible has our heritage written within. So we don't have to follow a fake day that has no meaning besides the fact that it's satanic. We're not to be conformed to this world. So if your wife, your girl, says to you, "Nah, I can't live this way. I can't have you not give me gifts on Valentine's Day." If you have your children like, "But what about gifts on Christmas?" There are ways to deal with these questions. And it doesn't have to always be confrontational, but you will have some. You will have some. How do we deal with it then? How will we deal with the wife or your girl or your kids who are living in this world and all around them they hear, you know, oh, it's Happy Christmas, Merry Christmas, or they hear, you know, that it's Valentine's and stuff like that. How do you approach that? Well, the scripture says here, not only don't be conformed to this world, but it says, but be ye transformed. The word transformed means that you're going to make a change. You're not going to continue in the same lifestyle. The transformation is going to be that you went from following wicked days to now observing holy days of the Heavenly Father. Your children don't have to miss out on gifts because there's nothing preventing you from giving them gifts on the holy days of God. When you read the Bible, the Heavenly Father actually told us, give gifts, hold a celebration, enjoy that day. So it doesn't have to be like, you know, something that you're going to dread, like, oh my God, what am I going to tell them about Christmas? Tell them the truth. Tell them that Christmas tree is something God said we not to do. It's not a Christmas tree. It's a tree in worship of a Babylonian God. Tell them the truth because children, they love to be told the truth. Bring them up knowing what is right and what is wrong. Then you're going to have children that are going to be not like those in the world that are disobedient, that like little gremlins. You're not going to have those type of kids because you are bringing them up in the nurture of the Heavenly Father. And then you're going to teach them about the holy days of the Heavenly Father. This is the transformation. Not only are you being changed, but your children are changing as well. The same with the wife. Yo, babe, you know this has nothing to do with love. Because you might have mad arguments. You might be like, you know, constantly dealing with issues in your marriage. And here comes Valentine's and all of a sudden, that's done for the day, right? Everything's forgotten for that one day. But then you go right back to the BS every single day. But when you transform yourselves, then you're going to be dealing with love constantly. Your wife is not going to be upset because you know what? You're going to desire to give her gifts multiple times in the year. You know, it might be during a holy day. It might be on a day that is special to you and her instead of special to the whole world. And this is what we have to do in order for us to get mercy. Let's keep reading. It says, and be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So see, your transformation is happening first in your mind, the way you look at things. Damn, once I have kids, I'm going to be like, I'm going to give them gifts all the time for Christmas. Instead of having that mindset, I was like, man, I can't wait to tell my kids about the Feast of Dedication. And why would I tell them about the Feast of Dedication? Because I want them to understand, look, you see how our people are rejecting the days of God? You know how it got that way? Through slavery, through whippings, through killings, through forceful ways. The same way how the Greeks tried to do that to us during the time period of our forefathers. But our forefathers, they were not like the recent generation that has been enslaved and has been destroyed mentally. Our forefathers fought for their culture to keep the holy days and not allow for the things that God gave us to be destroyed from our memory. And because of that, now we have still the Bible because they fought to keep the Bible. They fought to keep the Sabbath. They fought to keep the feast days and the holy days. They fought to keep God holy in their minds. And by teaching them that, you're teaching them to stand up for their soul. And this is something that every year, the History Channel, you know what I'm saying? And even certain churches, even certain famous people have said it publicly that, hey, well, we know this is pagan, but we're going to still do it anyway. Nah, let's not be like them. Let's renew our minds. Let's renew the way of thinking. We want to build up that family values that are going to make our nation and our people to be united, to be one again. Because like when you look in the news, you have people that shoot family members for Christmas gifts. You know what I'm saying? Like I saw that some brother shot his own relative, sister and brother and stuff like that. Our people go wild because, you know, they're not being taught good values. What they're getting taught is nothing to do with Christ, nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with being righteous or a just person. Instead, It has to do with just getting the gifts, just following the line. And this is why when we come back to the Heavenly Father, we got to start from the way we think. We got to renew our minds. And we got to be ready to give an answer to brothers and sisters that might be questioning why you don't keep this day, why you don't observe that, you know, why you're not coming around for this holiday. And this is what you got to say. By renewing your mind, the scripture says that ye may prove, that ye may prove. Whatever family member has an issue with you not celebrating, let's say, Christmas or celebrating Easter, you have to have the ability to prove to them that this is what the Bible says. And the important thing is to understand that your faith has to be built on evidence, on proof. It can't be just, oh, I just believe it because I believe it. Well, this is what we were taught since we were little. No, let's prove, as it says here, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have to prove what is good. For example, a few days from now, you're going to have people probably going to church because it's supposedly Good Friday. Now, can you prove what Good Friday is about in the Bible? Can you prove that it is acceptable to God? Can you prove that it's the perfect will of God? The will meaning is the perfect desire of God. It pleases Him. Can you prove that this is perfectly pleasing to God? And if you can't do that, then it's something that you shouldn't be following. Then we know that at that point, for us that are seeking to receive mercy, forgiveness of our sins, and to make it to the kingdom, we got to make the sacrifice. Even if it means angering a person, even if it means disappointing a person. Then let's read verse 1, because that's what it says here. I beseech you. The word beseech means I beg you. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. By what? The mercies of God. The mercy that God has given you is something that you shouldn't throw away for no one, even if they're your relative. So he says here, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living is the key word, sacrifice. A person or my job invites me to a Christmas party. I should not be afraid to tell them, no, I cannot attend. Well, that might cause some issue, you know, some questioning or someone looking at me funny or they might think I'm weird. Maybe. But I'm willing to sacrifice what? Whatever discomfort to make sure that I'm good with God. Because at the end of the day, they're not going to be holding your hand when it's judgment day. They're not going to be there with you. So for me, I'd rather be a living sacrifice. Wasn't me a living sacrifice? An example, a live example of what God said to do. Even if it means sacrificing a friendship, even if it means sacrificing someone's comfortability, even if it means correcting someone and telling them the truth. Because the point of us learning the things that God desires of us and the things that are wicked is not just to uncover the lies and be like, oh, snap, I didn't know that, like an example, I didn't know that Valentine's is really Lupercalia, the Roman celebration of this and this and that. Oh, snap, I didn't know Christmas was really Saturnalia. Oh, man, I didn't know that. And then continue living the same way. That doesn't make no sense, right? It's better for you to actually what? Confront and basically be an example to people of what is best. Because it says here that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, because God is holy. He's the only one that knows what holiness is. Acceptable unto God. You see that? This is how you get mercy. By being holy, being acceptable unto God. I don't care if I'm acceptable to my co-worker. I'm not there to be his friend. I'm there to get my paycheck and provide for my family. But what about your family members that they like, oh, is he coming to the Christmas party? Is he coming to the Christmas gathering? Because the whole family's going to be here. You're not going to see your whole family. Well, guess what? Teach your family the truth. Teach them the days of the Most High and how to transform and be like, man, look, dad, look, these are the days that God gave us, not that. So at that point, it's like, okay, so let's follow something that we could prove and something that we know is acceptable to God, that even Christ himself did. Now, if Christ was sinless and holy and he pleased God in every fashion or form, how then are we going to follow something else instead of following his footsteps like the Bible tells us? So let's be acceptable unto God which is your reasonable service. That's what it says here. It is your reasonable service, meaning you're only doing what is right. It's reasonable that you don't worship Satan. You know what I'm saying? It's reasonable that you love not just one day of the year for your father or for your mother, but that you honor them every day. It is reasonable that you become a good husband and she becomes a good wife, not only for one day. How about other days of the year? How about following what God commands? Let's go to the scripture right here. Let's go to the scripture in the book of Peter's, because I want to warn you that as you transform and as you start following God, you might get some pushback, but don't let that bother you. Don't let that deter you from doing the right thing. It says here in 1 Peter 4 verse 1, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh," and we know Christ literally went through physical suffering. He got his beard pulled, people whipped him, he got slapped, and finally he got put on the cross. It says, "Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind." In renewing ourselves, we have to think like Christ did. Well, you know what? It is better for me to suffer and get an eternity of glory and to get it and to make it to the kingdom than for me to enjoy some pleasures that deal in wickedness for a short amount of time and then spend eternity in fire. So you have to arm yourselves with the scriptures and arm yourselves in your mind that there might be some type of suffering that you might go through. And believe me, the suffering you're going to go through can't compare to what Christ and the disciples went through. You might just get a little lit from your family member. That's all. So what? It's better for you to get salvation and try to help them get salvation than you being fake and claiming that you're a Christian, but knowing that in fact you are worshiping Satan. "Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that suffered in the flesh have ceased," and the word "ceased" means to stop, "has ceased from sin." If you suffer a little bit, that means that you're in the right path, because that means that you have stopped committing sin. The scripture shows us, yeah, you might suffer a little bit, and it's fine. Listen, Christ did too. There were people that believed he was a false prophet. There were people that called him the devil because he was teaching them the commandments. Verse 2 says that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. See, if you're willing to suffer a little bit, then that means you no longer live into the desires of other people. That means that you no longer live into what this society intended for you to be in, which is sin and deception, for you to be kept oppressed. No, now you're going to be living in the eyes of God. Now you're living to honor the Heavenly Father. It's a total difference. "For the time past of our life," that means before you knew the truth, before you knew what the Bible says, it says "may suffice us." It means it's sufficient. It's enough already to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. The word "wrought" means to have worked, past tense, right? To have done what the Gentiles, meaning the other nations, wanted from us. So think about like in the Greek time period, they wanted for us to give up our nationality. They wanted for us to give up keeping the Sabbath. They wanted for us to basically completely reject who we are and become a Greek. Now, does that sound similar? Yeah, that's like today. They don't want you to be who you are. They don't want you to find out where you come from. They want you to follow their custom. They want you to be an Uncle Tom and basically follow their culture. The moment you start going back to your roots, it's like, oh no, we don't want that. And the reason why is because following your own culture might contrast with the current society and their plans of keeping you oppressed and destroyed mentally. It's enough for us that we already lived according to how the other nations wanted us. Like, how is it that in January you have Three Kings Day where they put a black face, you know, racist black face, and they make it obvious that this racist black face is supposed to represent all blacks being servants while they are continuing in power. This is how their celebrations are formed. They is to implement a way to think about yourself in society where you are inferior and they are superior. It's enough already that we follow their customs. It's enough. See, the Romans, this is the reason why they killed some of the disciples and the apostles, because it was going against their culture of worshiping many gods. But what ended up happening eventually to Rome? Yeah, they might have killed a few of the disciples, but Rome fell because of the teachings of Christ. So if we want a change in our society where we become the people in power, where we become free, because you're not free, then the way to do that is following the teachings of Christ. This is how we make a change. Not by votes. You had a black president, did anything change? No, not for the better. It changed for the worse. More racism, more poverty, and deception. It is enough that we did the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness. So notice the sense that it's going to mention here. When we follow certain days, we walk in certain sins. For example, here it says when we walked in lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is sexual lust, sexual desires. What holidays will promote lasciviousness? Valentine's is an example. Valentine's has nothing to do with love. It deals with whoredom, making whores of our sisters. Because you will have this mindset that, oh, she's my girlfriend. But here it is that you dealt with her sexually already. Then you move on to the next chick, and the next chick, and the next chick. When the Bible teaches us about marriage being the act of dealing with the woman, right? So that means that when you dealt with her sexually, she became your wife. But you are being taught that marriage is something completely different. If our people knew that, you know how many children will actually have fathers? You know how many sisters will be pure? That is why when you look at the other nations, some of them have a family structure where we don't. The moment you lay down with that woman and take her virginity, she is in fact your wife. It's not about a piece of paper. It's not about a ring. It's not about a priest. It's not about a judge. It's about doing things right. Because from that moment on, that woman has been changed. She has been humbled. So when we learn the ways of the Gentiles, we don't live righteously. We live in lust, sexual lust. Like, look at the culture of our people. We went from being the holy people to now, you know, we're known for twerking. We're known for, you know, we're known for all the wrong reasons. As we continue reading, it says, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, because lust could be any desires, right? It doesn't have to always be sexual. Lust could be you wanting something that doesn't belong to you. You look at someone's sneakers and you're like, damn, I wish I had those sneakers. Now I want to rob them for it. That's what covetousness is about in the Ten Commandments. Here it is that you're bringing up your kids and instead of teaching them values that are good for them, instead you're teaching them lust. Like, for example, here it is that when Christmas comes or whatever, they're looking at their friends. They're looking at what gifts they're getting and they're looking at whether they're going to get a gift or not. Now you're teaching them the desire that you have for this or the desire you have for that. And that's what's wrong, where everything is revolving not around the premise of so-called love or something historical or something of value. No, the premise is really lust, the desire for things. You hear it every year where people talk about how they go crazy for Christmas gifts, or you have family members that get upset if they didn't get the type of Christmas gift that they were expecting. Supposedly following their own teachings, their own beliefs, they are really following what it was meant to be, which is lust. You see it naturally. Oh, that's really what it's about. It's not about Christ. It's about lust. Ah, got it. It says excess of wine. Notice what it said. The next thing after lust is excess of wine. You get people that get drunk in these days and don't know how to act, getting a buzz and whatever, or sleeping with someone's woman and claiming, oh, snap, I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry I was with your girl, man. I was drunk out of my mind. Like that song says, right? Blame it on the alcohol. No, you cannot use that as your excuse. It says the next thing, revelings. Now, the word reveling is a word that we normally don't use. It's not part of our vocabulary in everyday life. But the word reveling means to party. That's really what it is. So you have this type of party, that type of party, going to the clubs and everything like that. You hear this word once a year sometimes. Like when they have the New Year's Eve and you turn on the TV, they say, oh, the New Year's revelers. What happens in those parties? The drugs, the chicks half dressed and the dudes trying to get with the chicks. All that type of stuff, that reveling, that sinful environment is not supposed to exist at all. So this is what these days promote. So we got to avoid that reveling spirit. It says banquetings. Banquetings will be like create all this great food, like Thanksgiving, let's say. But the thing is that you're not holding a celebration that is based on truth and something that is good. You might think Thanksgiving is something good, but it's not. That is really celebrating the massacre of Native American Indians in America. It says, an abominable idolatry. The end result of all these things is to worship an idol. An idol means a false god. Wherein they think it's strange. So you might have people, you was involved in these things, and they think it's strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot. So you might have family members like, but you used to do this. You might have so-called friends that be like, yo, bro, you're not coming through to the party? To the Halloween party, bro? Yeah, I know we worshiping Saint, but it's a party. You know what I'm saying? Nah, no, I'm not coming through. I don't want to be involved in that anymore. So when am I going to see you? How about you come for this holiday of God? Nah, I can't, bro. I got things to do. I got to work. You see what I'm saying? That's how it goes. They think of you being strange. Oh, he's weird. He don't do Christmas no more. He don't do this no more. Because you're not following the same riotous ways, the same evil ways that you were accustomed to. And notice what it says after this. It says, speaking evil of you. And they might say, he now in a cult. Oh, now he's a fanatic. You know, or I don't know what he's following, but it's some weird stuff. And they'll talk evil about you without them realizing that what they're doing is speaking evil of God, really. Because this is what God told us not to follow. And he warned us generations ago. But now our people follow it willingly and ignorantly without researching. What is it that this day is about? How did it get started? What is the true meaning of it? Like an example, Easter. What's the bunnies about? What's the eggs coloring about? What's the eggs in period about? What does this have to do with Christ? It was like, it's about the resurrection of Christ. I'm like, well, yeah, but what does the resurrection have to do with bunnies? The reason why they don't go into what is it about is because if they do research, they will find out, we have been tricked. In fact, we're worshiping the devil. You know what I'm saying? Now, once you realize that, should you just continue? No, we read it's already enough. It's already sufficient that you live according to this lifestyle. Now that you know the truth, change, transform yourself, renew your mind. Because look at the next verse. In verse 5, it says, who shall give account, meaning at some point, you're going to have to answer to God for the things that you have done. It said, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. Meaning you're going to have to answer to Christ who is ready to what? Judge. You are going to be judged based on how you lived your life. Is it worth it for you to lose your salvation for the company party, the Christmas party? Is it worth it to lose your salvation for the so-called friend that you see once a blue?
No!
You know what I'm saying? It's not worth you losing your soul for anyone, period. This is why we have to renew our days as of old. When you look at our forefathers that worship God correctly and that follow his days, we see the blessings that they received. We see how the Most High stood up for them and fought for them and gave them freedom. And not only gave them freedom, but gave them prosperity and blessing, even while they were slaves in captivity. So we have to understand the choices that are before us. Either we live righteously and get eternal life, or we live wickedly and receive the judgment that is written in the scriptures. I want to leave you with this scripture right here in the book of Revelation, chapter 3. And I want to read to you verse 15 where it says, I know thy works. So the Heavenly Father knows what you do, that thou art neither cold nor hot. And this is a reminder that we have to choose. Either we're going to be cold, meaning cold-blooded, with no love to the Heavenly Father, or you're going to be hot, meaning you love the Most High. You can't have one way or the other and be in the middle. You got to be either cold or hot. He said, I would that were cold or hot. The Most High said, I desire for you to either be one or the other. So then, because thou art lukewarm, that means you're in the middle, undecided, holding on to certain days, and you're still trying to do what God said at the same time. It says, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, meaning he will reject you. Just like if someone was to give you a drink, you want that either that cold water, gonna be refreshing, you go, Wow, that was good, man. My thirst is gone. Or you want that hot tea or that hot coffee. But you definitely don't want that water that is lukewarm. Because the moment you drink it, you're going to feel disgusted. You're going to spit it out like, man, this is not cold. Or you're going to say, this is not warm. If someone give you tea and the tea went cold, you're not going to be happy. And that's the same way with the Heavenly Father. Choose your path. This is what he expects you to do. But if you don't, you ain't hurting him. You're only hurting yourself. So with that, we give all praise and honor to the Most High Christ. And we say, Shalom.
I'm back and forth with nobody popping off all my demons. Oh, just because that I'm dark skinned don't mean I'm scheming. Nah, never took drugs, never smoked weed, I'm never fiending. I'm all about my father business, y'all in here tweaking. I'm back and forth with nobody popping off all my demons. Oh, just because that I'm dark skinned don't mean I'm scheming. Never took drugs, never smoked weed, I'm never fiending. I'm all about my father business, y'all in here tweaking. A different breed, bloodline royalty, that's how I bleed. Hey, check the pedigree, that's royalty. A different breed, bloodline royalty, that's how I bleed. Hey, check the pedigree, that's royalty. From the gutty gungan, from the bottom, never did I stutter. If we had a problem, easy grab the cutters when it comes to drama. Life is too short on my wrist of time. Calculating, seeing prophecies. Come to pass from the KJV. My people suffer from tragedies. Turn to Deuteronomy 28, let's see. From a bloodline of kings to slaves, treated in no worse the ways. Different breed, maneuver through the pain. Prince are probably gonna rule again. Israelite for eternity, my heritage, no religion. Knocking demons off of my headless. I'ma raise the bar on the planet fitness. Heathens get about your feelings. Nah, everyone's forgiven. Thinking all people is the world mentioned. John 16, y'all tripping. Isaiah 45:17. None of this is mythic. Chosen seed that means to be gifted. Righteous to the day that I'm lifted. I'm back and forth with nobody popping off all my demons. Or just because that I'm dark skinned don't mean I'm scheming. Never took drugs, never smoked weed, I'm never feeling. I'm all about my father business, y'all in here tweaking. I'm back and forth with nobody popping off all my demons. Or just because that I'm dark skinned don't mean I'm scheming. Never took drugs, never smoked weed, I'm never feeling. I'm all about my father business, y'all in here tweaking. A different breed, bloodline royalty, that's how I bleed. Hey, check the pedigree, that's royalty. A different breed, bloodline royalty, that's how I bleed. Hey, check the pedigree, that's royalty. I'm an Israelite, homie, I am an Israelite, homie, I am an Israelite. Shooting for the light like a Mordecai, believing in Yahweh, why Yahweh shot. Blaspheme the word of the Most High, you sure to die. This ain't for some hype or some likes, this my birthright. I'm back and forth with nobody popping off all my demons. Or just because that I'm dark skinned don't mean I'm scheming. Never took drugs, never smoked weed, I'm never feeling. I'm all about my father business, y'all in here tweaking. I'm back and forth with nobody popping off all my demons. Or just because that I'm dark skinned don't mean I'm scheming. Never took drugs, never smoked weed, I'm never feeling. I'm all about my father business, y'all in here tweaking.